Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone, and welcome to our Blog Talk Radio message. We are actually doing the message via the internet because of the coronavirus, and wanted to begin this with actually introducing Evangelist Tanita. I believe that she's on the call as well, and allow yes. her to be able to give you the small, you know, hazard type of dissertation based upon what is happening in the world today, and then we will get on with our actual message. So, Evangelist Tanita, it's my pleasure to introduce you so that you can share with the rest of the congregants. Amen.
Yes, sir. And thank you. Can you all hear me? Can you hear me, Rabbi John?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Special announcement about the coronavirus announcement. And so many of you may know we have a newsletter that has gone out. And as of this week, our regular Saturday Sabbath services for March the 21st, which is today, and the 28th are canceled per the presidential and CDC guidelines. We are working, which we're doing now, to have our online alternatives, which we have completed, and we will keep you informed as our leadership and staff will be conferring this coming week to make more decisions about gatherings after March the 28th. And so I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you for all that you do. Just want to make sure that you are aware of that. And it's a blessing to us as a body, but it's also a blessing to the rest of the body of Christ. So most of you have, sure. or if you're on this call, or if you're on the hyperlink, you have access to this information. And the beautiful thing about this is that's a little bit different than face-to-face, although I enjoy face-to-face. Hold on just a second. Just when you thought it was safe, your timer tells you it's time to get up and minister, right? Anyway, this is recorded, and this will be in the archive, so this will give you an opportunity to actually listen to it and actually use it as a Bible study for yourself, a personal Bible study. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get started with the title. And the title, if Evangelist Tanita, go ahead and share that title. She hasn't left yet. I'm not sure if she's left already.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
I'm
could
here.
You go ahead and share could you go ahead and share the title of the message and then we'll go ahead and get going?
Yes, sir. So our title today, congregation, is Learning to Live from the Place of Peace Within. And our scripture reading today will be Job chapter 22, verses 21 through 22. Again, that's Job chapter 22, verses 21 through 22. Rabbi John?
Okay, thank you. All right, and I'm gonna be sharing this from the NLT version, the New Living Translation. And it says, submit to Yah, or submit to God, and you will have peace. Then things will go well for you. Listen to his instructions and store them in your heart. Okay? Now, as most of you know, I like to go directly into the Hebrew, primarily so that we can make sure that we understand what the Father is saying. And the reason for this is because he spoke to his people in that day in Hebrew. And the Hebrew, as we know from those of you that are connected with our Hebrew classes, you're learning about the Paleo-Hebrew, and you're learning how important the Paleo-Hebrew is. And the reason for that is because the definition of what the Father is trying to say to us and the instructions on how to apply what he's saying is found in the letters of the words that he uses. I can't even emphasize that enough, because we need to understand that the Father wants us to understand. We need to understand that when he speaks, and the reason why he speaks so little words is because each letter of those words explain exactly what he's wanting you and me to do, exactly how he wants me to fulfill whatever it is, whatever the task is that he's desiring. And in this particular aspect, we're going to be diving into the peace concept, the aspect of peace and what that means. And I know a lot of you have heard the definitions of peace and understand that it's nothing broken and nothing missing, and that's absolutely true. But the problem that I find, and you may not find the same problem that I do, but the problem that I find and I feel is common to most is truly understanding how to apply the peace concept in my life. When things are going disarray, when things are just not working out, how do I find this peace that is spoken of, that is talked about, that is preached and proclaimed throughout scriptures and churches and synagogues? How do I find peace? I know this may sound selfish, but there are times when self needs to be administered to, needs to be cared for. So this message is going to really point at self. It's going to point at you. It's going to point at me. And it's going to point at my abilities as well as my inabilities to receive this peace that passes all understanding. Oh, well, it's fantastic to read it and to get biblical examples of it. But if I and you cannot appropriate peace, then turmoil is all I'm going to experience. Frustration and many other adjectives that I'm sure that you could place there is what I'm going to have. And it's going to distance me even further from Yah, even further from God. So let's break this down. We're going to go into that first verse, the 21st verse of Job chapter 22, and it says to submit. Now that word submit is sakan in the Hebrew, C or S, because that's a sonic, S-A-K-A is the actual spelling, okay, and that's a transliteration spelling. And the Hebrew is for the Strong's, for those of you that like to go back into the Strong's like I do and then begin to extrapolate more of that particular understanding in the Hebrew, is 5532. Now, the next one, of course, which is our main topic, and most of you are very familiar with the Hebrew in that particular word, which is peace or shalom. And that shalom is Hebrews, for Strong's number, it's Hebrews 7999. Okay? Now, let's go back to the shakan. Let's go back to the submit. Now, I'm going to define that because I want us to really begin to understand. Now, remember, all of this is not for the knowledge base. It should be and always should be for the application base. When you begin to read God's word, which I know all of you have begun doing, you quickly begin to realize from Genesis to Revelation that the Father not only wants a relationship, then that word relationship is going to be heard and spoken a lot, but not only does he want a relationship, but from Genesis to Revelation, it started with a relationship that was pure, that was holy, and that was right, and was connected proper. And then it went from there to a fallen state or dysfunctional relationship. And all through the Word of God, God is trying to reestablish man, reestablish you, reestablish me, back to the relationship that was once created in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Okay? So, as we go through this definition, let's look at it from a standpoint of application and not so much from a standpoint of acquiring more knowledge. And it says for shakan, okay, which is, and in this particular one, it uses, this particular version, it uses the word submit, okay? It's to be familiar with, to minister to be serviceable to. Another word they use is the customary, or to be customary, all right, to form a habitual relationship. Now, the reason why that is important is because before I can have this peace that passes all understanding, before I can have nothing broken and nothing missing, which is so highly publicized, more so than the actual application of how to get there, okay? And I don't know about you, but it's like, how do I get there? I mean, I just want to get it over. You know, I know the definition. I know all of these other things, but I have not experienced this peace that we want to all and should all experience. So this is where we're going, okay? Now, one of the, because when you go into the Strongs, and I'll digress here a little bit. When you go into the Strongs, okay, it's what is neat about that is it gives you the actual word itself and breaks down the word, and gives you the definition of the word in the Strongs, but it also gives you the occurrences or how many times it's actually being used. And in this particular one, I believe it's being used about 12 times, but I went and took one incident with the word shakan, one instance that I felt was absolutely important for us to be able to know and to understand. And I took not only in this particular aspect, I took the Old Testament. And this is a very familiar passage, a very familiar situation. So I'll just give you a backstory on that. And it's in Numbers chapter 22, for those of you that are actually taking notes. Numbers chapter 22, verses 21 through 30. Now, my main focus of when the word is used, when shakan is used, the Hebrew, is in verse 30. Okay? I want to make sure you got that. It's in verse 30. Okay? But we're going to begin reading, or I will begin reading, from Numbers chapter 21 all the way to verse 30. Okay, and what that'll do is this will give you insight and some back feeling information, which is important for us to understand how and why the word is used. Okay, because that's going to help you and I begin to fulfill utilizing that word in our own lives so that we also will be able to obtain this wonderful weapon, and it's a weapon, it's a spiritual weapon, called peace. It's a weapon of God. It's a part of his arsenal. We'll go into that. All right. So I'm going to begin reading out of the New Living Translation, and I'm reading starting at verse 21, and I'm going to go all the way to 30, as I already said. So the next morning, Balaam got up. So a little backstory on this. This is a situation where Balak the king is wanting the prophet Balaam to curse the children of Israel because they're kind of walking through or going through towards the promised land. And, of course, Balak is afraid, which he should be, because he's not wanting to submit to, which, going back to the word that we're using, he's not wanting to submit to God. He's aware of God, and he's aware of the children of Israel that are coming, but he wants them destroyed. So he gets in touch with the prophet Balaam, who, whenever he curses anything, the prophet, that is, it always comes to pass. So he sends his individuals to go and talk to him about payment to do this. All right. So that's where we're picking this whole story up at. Okay. All right. And so the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, and started off with the Moabite officers. Okay. But God was angry with Balaam. And was going, so he sent an angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way, or to block Balaam's way, as Balaam and the two servants were riding along. Now, Balaam, of course, we know, did not see the angel, okay? Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey blotted off the road onto a field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. Then the angel, so that's the first, because remember that happened three times. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw that the angel of the Lord saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey again. So that's the second time that Balaam was very abusive to his animal. So then the angel of the Lord moved further down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. Well, this time, when the donkey saw that the angel, the donkey laid down under Balaam. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again with his staff. Then the Lord gave the donkey, verse 28, then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. What have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times? It asked Balaam. Now, of course, most of us would have been so dumbfounded at the fact that the animal was speaking that we would have taken a note and said, okay, wait a minute, what am I doing wrong? But not Balaam. All right, verse 29. You have made me look like a fool, Balaam shouted. If I had a sword with me, I would kill you, is what he retorted. Now, verse 30 is where I want you to really begin to focus here, okay? All right, it says, but I am the same donkey that you have ridden all your life. The donkey answered, have I ever done anything like this before? And the answer that was given by Balaam was no. Okay. Now we're going to stop there for just a second and begin to really dig into this and really get a good understanding of what the Spirit of Yah is trying to say to us, to me, pertaining to this, not just the incident, but to the word shakan. Now the word shakan is used in the text in the verse, in verse 30, when the donkey asked if he had ever done anything like this. That anything like this that you see there is him basically saying, have I done anything customary? And I'm going to use that word again. Have I done anything customary to this behavior? Okay. Shakan is referring to an individual's behavior, the manner in which they conduct themselves. Now, that's important. Now, why is it important? It's important because this is the first important steps to adhering to and receiving this peace of God that passes all understanding. So the donkey is actually, you know, basically on the witness stand, if you will, against an owner that wants to kill him. Fortunately for the donkey that the owner doesn't have a sword, because he said, I would kill you, I would chop your head off. So what the donkey begins to do is the donkey begins to remind the owner of the donkey's loyalty, his behavior, and the manner in which he has always served. Now remember, part of that definition is ministering and serving. So this is what is being shared. Okay? How does that relate to us and relate to Yah? It relates in such a way to where this peace that passes all understanding that we desire, that we want, that we need, part of the armament of God, that we're supposed to be clothed with, that we're supposed to be clothed with, it doesn't come automatically. Too often we believe, as believers, that all we have to do is to get on our knees or just send an emergency prayer and all of this, and then the peace comes. Now, the answer from God comes, yes. But this type of peace that is talked about here is something that is acquired over time and over a relationship and an obedience. That's what this is referring to. A habit is normally formed within about 21 days of complete solemn obedience. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a relationship. Remember, because this peace of Yah, or the peace of God, or the Yahuwah Shalom, comes through relationship. I'm reminded of a couple of examples, and I'll give you a personal example that connects my situation with what happened with this particular donkey. I have started to change a large portion of my paying habits as far as bill paying to an automatic bill pay, okay? So an automatic pay system. And one of my credit cards I had placed in this automatic system. And because, you know, with when it comes to those types of things, I got trust issues, like I'm sure some of you do. So I called to make sure that the automatic system was engaged, it was activated, it was working, and was going to do what it was supposed to do. Well, the young lady on the phone, she, you know, gave me, you know, two thumbs up and said, yes, you know, we see that you, you know, activated the automatic system, and so you don't have anything to worry about, yada, 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 you know, we'll make sure that, you know, it gets from this bank to that bank and makes a payment, and yeah, right, okay. So I hang up, and I don't think anything of it. And then my payment time that I normally do my own bills came up, came and left. And then I started spiritually. I started feeling something about 4 to 5 days after the payment was registered. And I just called the credit card company. And I was calling all of them, you know, to make sure that they, all of the automatic bill pays that I'd set up, just to make sure that they were working. And they were. But this particular one, this particular company, I called, and they said, no, we have not received your payment. And, you know, you are now delinquent. You are late. And I'm like, wait a minute. Of course, you know, I had to grab my piece. And not, you know, go off on them and begin to talk to them about it and everything. And they looked, the young lady, the other young, there's another young lady. She looked at my payment schedule. Now I've had this card for a while and I've never, ever been late. I've always been either on time. Most of the time I've been paying over. And she saw that. And she said, well, Mr. Atkins, you know, we see that you've never, ever been late. I said, no, ma'am, I haven't. And she says, well, we will rectify this for you. We will pay the charges back to you and everything else because, or the habitual habit or the shakan of your behavior. Now, how is this relevant to you and me? When we begin to call and begin to ask the Father for his peace, not only is he going to look at the record of our relationship, but the adversary, the devil, will make sure that you and I, if our record is not perfect, will make sure that we disqualify ourselves because of our inactions and not because of our proper actions. We won't get the favor. We won't get the shalom, okay? Because shalom is utilized when there is a problem. No one needs shalom when there's not a problem. No one needs shalom when you're not in the thick of the battle. In the thick of the battle of the war against the evil one. No one needs shalom at that point. It's not that it's not good to have. Of course it is. But it's not applicable to your situation. When chaos is going in your life or going around you, it doesn't even have to be connected to you or going after you, but when chaos begins to manifest, like this coronavirus, it's causing chaos. It's causing discomfort. It's causing tremendous amounts of inconvenience. That's when you need peace. And the Shakan, that's my dog, the Shakan, he's listening to the message, the Shakan is going to look at your record and my record, your behavior and my behavior, to see if you truly do have permission or access to this peace that we're getting ready to go into. I don't know about you, but I had the toughest time as a new believer trying to understand how these things work. Not that so that I could preach it or teach it or anything like that. I just wanted to live it. I just wanted to be in the moment of the glory of God. That's all I desired. But everything that, from a Greco-Roman standpoint, everything that I was looking at was just, you know, saying, well, just do this and boom, it happens. You know? And I'm like, it's not working for me. And it wasn't. And now I'm beginning to realize more and more Hebraically why it doesn't work. Why I get frustrated, get disillusioned, heartbreak, and then begin to have a lack of trust of whether God would really answer me. And would he really, does he even care? These are the pieces that we're trying to put back in place. Because number one, he does care. He has given us the information, but it has been distorted. I hope that this is beginning to give a picture, because we're going to stay on the series so that we can really begin to get an understanding and begin to walk in that understanding and see that understanding for what it is. So let's begin to look at Shalom. We said that it's the Hebrew 7, 9, 9, 9, so that's 3 9s, 7 and 3 9s. And it's to make restitution, to complete. These are just definitions. Of course, we've heard of the nothing broken and nothing missing definition. Now understand this. If peace is the weapon that is used to make restitution, and restitution is something that has to happen, then that means there has been a breach in that because restitution is restoring something back to its original form. So the original relationship, going back to that word relationship again, the original connection has been broken. Okay, and because of that, chaos is having its way in that circumstance or in that situation. I want to show you in the New Testament now where Yeshua uses this weapon of peace. Everybody will go to Mark chapter 4, verse, and I'm just going to read one verse, verse 39. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Now, the backstory on this. In Mark, Yeshua, especially in chapter 4, Yeshua gave them a parable about the sower of the seed and then began to break that down for his disciples so that they could understand exactly how that works. And what's interesting in this, and we need to know this for ourselves in order to acquire peace, what's interesting about this is when Yeshua begins to speak to, when Jesus begins to speak to his disciples and begins to explain to them how the concept of the kingdom and the empowering an individual with faith works, because that was what it was a concept of how to empower individuals with faith in order to begin to manifest, and I'm just going to say it in the vernacular that connects to this message, in order to utilize the spiritual weaponry in the heavenlies on earth. The parable was so powerful because Yeshua said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of the other parables? In other words, this parable is the key. It's the key that goes in the lock and opens up the understanding to all the other parables. the weaponry of our warfare, which, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5, says that are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. In other words, they're heavenly weapons. And as we open the door of the spirit realm, God gives us those weapons, and we defeat the enemy here on the earth in whatever the situation or circumstances are. So verse 39 of chapter 4, and I'm reading it out of the King James, and it says, "And he arose and rebuked," this he is Yeshua, "he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." The peace, the weaponry that Yeshua had for peace, is greatest utilized when there's chaos. When there's chaos. Now, this peace that Yeshua spoke came from within him. This is important. And this goes back to the title of the message. That Yeshua spoke came from within him. It was a part of the deposit of the relationship that was being built between him and God, him and Yah. He took, if you will, in banking terms, he took a withdrawal from the account of the relationship that he had with God and utilized that peace on the earth according to his and their situation. Now, that was some serious training for the disciples, yes. But within that aspect of that training, let us not forget where that peace came from. That peace was a part of the deposit of what he received from God. And it's imperative to understand that that peace is a part of the relationship that we have when we walk, as we walk with him, we acquire not just information, not just a warm and fuzzy feeling, but we begin to acquire things that cause us to be assured within ourselves. I'm reminded of my relationship with my wife. And when we first met each other, as I began to see her more, there began to have such an inner resonance in me, by God, but in me, that she was the one that would help complete me here on the earth in the natural. And each time we met, it was like more pieces of the puzzle were coming together in my life and causing purpose and understanding of that purpose and compliance to not just what my purpose is, but what our purpose was. So the more we met, the more we talked, the more we conversed, the more we got to know one another, more the assurance began to come in, to where when we joined the military, when I say we, because it was both of us, you know, joining the military when I joined, we had some, you know, tests from individuals in the military that, you know, would try to, try to cause problems with your relationship. I'll just say it that way. And her and I both had that assurance and that peace that we both knew that no individual could separate her or I from one another. But that was acquired from the very first time that we met and began to build upon that relationship and upon that trust. This is the same concept that Yeshua was trying to teach his disciples pertaining to this weaponry of the word peace. That it's something that grows and becomes a part of what you can bring to the battlefield based upon your relationship with Yah Another one, King David. Before there was a Goliath experience, there was a bear experience and there was a lion experience. And David got to know in that relationship that he had with the Father. He got to know him. He got to understand him. He got to understand the aspect of the character, and allowed God to build his character, David's character. Now, remember, that character, or part of what that character is Shakan. When we read it in the New Testament, we read, submit to God and flee the devil, you know, in James. And it has, in the Greco-Roman, it has a different meaning. But in the Hebrew, that submit that was placed in that particular passage, oh my gosh, it means so much more. It's talking about a relationship. It's like that donkey. It's talking about servitude in the manner in which is of the utmost respect and honor. When we are walking in servitude with God and with Yeshua, in the utmost, where there is no flaws in our relationship with him, then that peace is so easy to utilize and appropriate when we need it. It's so easy. Why? Because our relationship is so easy. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, we know that even though God knew that Adam and Eve had sinned, he still came to have a relationship with them. He came to build upon the Shakan. And he also came to restore them. Now, they didn't know that, because like some of us, you know, when sin comes, we fall into it and we run. No different than Adam and Eve. And we go try to find our own fig leaves to hide. But the Father came to build back the relationship. He came to assure Adam and Eve that what they had started with him was something that he wanted to finish with them, not without them. How many times for us do we find ourselves in a situation where, because of one or two things that we may have done wrong, we become judge and jury of our own life? And we say, it's over. Nope, it's wrong. It's done. And the scripture is very clear when God says, when your heart condemns you, I am greater than your heart. That's what Yahweh was coming to do in Genesis. He was coming to let them know, I am greater. I saw the whole thing. I know what happened. But I'm still coming for the relationship. Why? Because I am greater than that chaos. I'm greater than the chaos in your life. Yes, your heart condemns you, and rightfully so, because wrong is wrong. But I am here to redeem you, to restore you, to bring peace where chaos has ruled your life. When you hear the words in the Hebrew of the name of God, Yahuwah. In the English, the best understanding of that is I am and I will be. I am and I will be. So Yah is trying to help us, help me understand. Not know, okay? And we're not talking about knowledge here. We're not talking about intellect. But he wants me to experience him, understand that he is. So when things are running amok and things are just not working out the way they're supposed to, and the world is changing abruptly and causing a tremendous lack of peace in your life, lack of convenience in your life, the very first thing he wants you to understand is he created not the world that we are living in now because it's chaos, but he created a world of peace that he created with this world is in you because he's in you. He's in me. And he's saying, I will be. Now, I've got to let him. I've got to allow him. I've got to surrender. I've got to submit. I've got to shaka. And yes, we do have a lot of other examples. One from an individual that most would never believe that he had a problem submitting. And that is Yeshua, that's Jesus himself. Most of you know in Matthew chapter 26, the Garden of Gethsemane experience. That was the one time that Yeshua was having a problem with Shakan, having a problem with submitting, because he did not want to die. He was having a struggle. It was a weakness in his, a weak moment in his life. He asked for his disciples, and especially the three that were the closest to him in his inner circle, for them to pray for him and to pray. And was very, very transparent with them that his soul was really going through a struggle. And he did pray three times, and there's a lot of dissertation about that, but mine is very simple. His soul is made up of his mind, will, and emotions, and all three of those areas had to be recalibrated. So that's why each time he prayed for and prayed through until that aspect of his soul came up under submission, came up under Sakkan. And then once all three of those attributes and characteristics of his soul, mind, will, and his emotions, came up under the discipline, then he could pull from the peace of God. The same peace of God that he used in Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Same peace. It's not any different type of peace. It's the same weapon. But he was using it for his own life. Because when you go back and look at Mark chapter 4, verse 39, and just that surrounding passage, you know, what you'll see is the very soul of the disciples failed them, their mind, to race because of what they saw. What they saw happening to themselves, to the boat, and everything. Their will to actually try to continue to row and to continue to fight, they gave up. Because fear entered instead of faith that was already there. And the fear drove them to wake Yeshua up, who was asleep in the boat, for help. Their emotions, they were frantic. These same attributes in the disciples affected Yeshua at the Garden of Gethsemane. This is our example. This is your example. That when one, two, or more of the characteristics of your and my soul begin to get out of the alignment, that we need to steal away and begin to battle in the spirit through prayer to God to give us what we need from within to allow what needs to happen, which is the complete alignment of peace in our soul, in our mind, our will, and our emotions. Because Yeshua was a perfect example. Because once that happened, he came back, gathered up his disciples, prepared for the battle of the deception of Judas, and followed the course that the Lord had laid, that the Father had laid for him, because he asked three times, could pass him, then let it be. And the Father made it very clear that the cup was designed, customed and designed for him. Each and every one of us have a cup that we've got to drink. Within that cup, there's a certain amount of suffering. There's a certain amount of dying to self, dying to flesh, dying to emotions, dying to our will, that we must overcome, or we'll never be able to achieve and utilize the weapon called peace. We can call upon him as Yahuwah Shalom. We can pray to him as Yahuwah Shalom. We can fast. All three of those areas in our soul has to be restored. It happened with Yeshua. He had to restore his mind. He had to restore his will. He had to restore his emotions. We want to receive the new mercies every day, but we don't want to restore and deal with our mind, will, and emotions. How will we ever be able to have access and utilize skillfully? It's one to have access to. It's another to be skillful. How are we going to do this if we don't become responsible for making sure that our shakan, our mind, will, and emotions on a regular basis, so that that relationship can be pure? The peace comes from, it's admitted out from a pure relationship. Without that pure relationship, there will be no true third kingdom realm peace where nothing's broken and nothing's missing. I say that to my fault as much as I say it to your fault. What am I talking about? We pray the prayer. We say the words. But our lifestyle is not indicative of the true power that comes from this peace. So therefore, this peace, or the power from that peace, to change our circumstances, doesn't happen. We're still in the same rut that we were in before we prayed. Why? Because God knows our heart better than we know our own heart. Oftentimes, we don't know our heart. Definitely not to the degree that God does. moment that we do the things that Yah says to do is when we will have the access to the things that Yah says belong to us. Just because it belonged to us, that doesn't mean it's going to manifest. Yes, it does belong to us. It doesn't belong to the world. It doesn't belong to the heathen. But if I and you don't do the things that biblically are mandated for us to do, if we don't follow the biblical example and the narrative that Yeshua did, even when he was in a situation where he didn't have it, then we're not going to receive the manifestation. Now, we can get mad at God, which to a degree, I mean, let's be honest. If you live this life long enough, you've come to a place to where you got mad at God. But when you drill down a little bit further and really get past the minutia and get into the actual truth of the matter, you realize, it was something I didn't do. It will always come down to it was something that you and I did not do. Now, we talked about relationship. And as I get ready to close, I want to make sure that you understand, no matter where you go in the Word of God, no matter where you go in the world, it's always going to be about relationship. Because God created it that way in the beginning. With Adam and Eve, he created a time and a space where part of that relationship was getting to know and getting to understand one another. If you don't have that kind of relationship with God, and for whoever it is that this may be your first time listening to this broadcast and listening to us, first and foremost, you've got to have a relationship with God. That relationship first starts off as a salvation relationship. Now, if you don't believe you need to be saved from anything, then you can stop listening. Because the bottom line is salvation comes from a trust. And if you don't believe you need to be saved from anything because you got everything or that everything in your mind is working for you, then there's no need to ask God for anything. But I'm speaking to those individuals who have come to the end of their road in certain areas of their life and are really looking for the answer. Now you can receive that answer. Because if you call upon him with a purposed heart, he will hear and answer you. So I'm going to pray. Not for the first example of the first individual, but I'm going to pray for the individual who desires the answer, understands the brokenness of the relationship. And I'm going to pray with you that God will begin to reveal to you those areas of brokenness in your life and in your heart, and why chaos is running amok in your life. I'm going to pray for you, and he will answer you. He will give you instructions. He will let you know what you need to do. And oftentimes we can't do it alone by ourselves. And if that's you, then we're here to help you walk through this aspect of dealing with this chaos as God directs you. So, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we look to you. We put our hands up and say, we cannot fix this. It's not working. And there is no peace in me and in this situation. Let me understand. Take my hand and guide me to your truth so that I can begin to walk in the peace that passes understanding, that restores such a one from the battle and the raging enemies all around. Help me understand that you are walking amongst me, not just in me, but amongst us. There to help us if we just call on you, not with our words, but with our heart. So with my heart, I say to you, help show me the way. Help guide me every day to fulfill all that you have called for me and mine. Help me be an example of the righteous way, relationship with you, so that every aspect of everything that you desire to do with and through me will be a blessing and not a curse. Father, I thank you for the areas where you have made yourself known to me because I've yielded to you. Now, Father, I ask that areas where I have not yielded, that you expose those areas so that I will yield those areas as well. That is a desire of my heart, of our heart, so that every aspect of every possible realm of my being will be wholly submitted to you, that my mind, my will, and my emotions will be totally sakan. I thank you for that, Father God, and I praise you and glorify you for all that you're doing in me and in those who are adhering to and not just listening, but adhering to the message and the series. Father, I know that you will come to them, that you will place within them that assurance of peace, so that everything on the inside will be as it should be. So that when they fight their battles, they're able to use all of, and skillfully all that you have appropriated for them in their situation and in their circumstance. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen and amen. Well, bless God, beloved. I just want to encourage you to begin to really get that quiet time so that you can really begin to understand, so that I can begin to understand, so that we can begin to understand this peace that passes all understanding in the natural, but that we will have it in the heavens. In the name of Yeshua. Well, Evangelist Anita, wanted to make sure you're still there.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right.
Can
great
you hear
job.
Me, Rabbi?
If you, I sure can. If you could give individuals more information about us and more information on our services, of course, now they're online until
yes.
the coronavirus subsides and we're able to go back to the similitude of normalize. But
yes.
if you could kind of share that with them and also give them the good news that we're going to also begin to make this more of a Bible study
yes.
online yes. as well once
Amen.
We start meeting again. Okay, so go ahead.
Yes.
I think I've shared
oh, yes.
some of that, but go ahead. I'll let you share the rest of it.
That's okay. That's all right. So as Rabbi said, I just want to reiterate, we will begin and we'll keep you all posted, those that are interested, on starting back up with the show, Ask the Messianic Rabbi. And so we just want you to know that we will begin that, and we'll give you the dates that we'll be doing it during the week as well as the time. And as Rabbi has said, we do have our services available online on demand. For those of you who have the newsletter, what you'll find is that even next week we'll do like we did this week. We will provide the link for the teaching today, as Rabbi did, but our other teachings are available online. And the first one is Hebrew Alphabet class online. And praise y'all for Pastor Andre. He has created links beside each one so that you, when you click on it, you will be able to view the video. The next one is a special tithe message, which is done by Minister Steve. And, of course, that's also a link. For Children's Church, we have downloaded the worksheets. And, of course, Pastor Andre has provided a special email to send to the parents so that you can listen to the Parsha for that week. And then you can also use the Children's Church worksheets for the children so that no one is missing what they normally would have done during Sabbath service on Saturdays. And so let me go back to our way in which you can contact us for more information. The first one is our website, and that is www.bethesham.org. That is spelled BETHSHEM.org. We also have a web page on Facebook, and that would be located at www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministries. Of course, as we stated, we can't attend services in person, but if you would like to be a part of the newsletter, you can always go to the website and let us know to add you into the feed. And if you'll just bear with me just one moment, Rabbi, is it okay to share with those what they need to do for the tithes and offering as a reminder?
Yes, please go right ahead.
Please
go right ahead.
All right. And so just so you know, the tithe and offering we have on a previous newsletter, there's a cash app, a mobile app. Use the cash app for free to make a contribution. You're going to send it to the following link, and that is cash.app/$Beth with a capital B, Ha with a capital H, Shem. So I'm going to spell it out for you. That's https://cash.app/$BETHSHEM. And then, of course, for those that would like to mail it in, you can mail it in to Congregation Beth Hashem, and that is 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, NC 27704. And to utilize the bank online bill pay, you're going to enter in 211 Shaw Road, Durham, NC 27704 as the address. And then the ACH checks will be mailed directly to Beth Hashem by your processing center. And I think that covers everything, Rabbi John. I'll hand it back over to you.
Yeah, yes, it does. For those that are enrolled in the Zuhl College, we will be having Zuhl College as we normally do at 3 p.m. This Saturday, and that'll be from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you will be getting those particular links, and we'll be finishing up those modules. We are excited that our interconnection with UNC Chapel Hill is on its way, and we are very close to finalizing that agreement so that we will have that as our covering. I'm sure that Evangelist Anita and Pastor Andre can speak more on that, but did want to let you know that that is in the works, and we are extremely excited about that and about the accreditation as well. I think that's pretty much all that we have to share at this particular time. Now, is there a way that they can get in contact with us through email, Evangelist Anita, if they have questions?
Yes, sir. So if you have any questions, and thank you, Rabbi John, our email address, if you would like to reach us for regular services and as well as what Rabbi said, Zuhl College, Zakiya University, it's going to be office@bethesham.org. That is OFFICE at Beth Hashem, BETHSHEM.org. Okay? And I'll hand it back to you, Rabbi John.
All right. Well, I've already prayed, but we'll close out with a kind of a short prayer. Next time we'll be doing, and we'll have on recording for you the benediction, the Hebraic benediction. But Father, right now we just give you thanks and praise. We magnify you for this opportunity. We thank you that this is not a hindrance in the manner in which we could view it, but this is an opportunity to touch the masses, to touch individuals outside the walls of Beth Hashem, and give them an opportunity to understand and to receive and to apply the Word of God in the manner in which you've desired. So we give you all the praise for that and all the glory. And if there's anything that I've said or done, Father, that has not been according to your plan and according to your purpose, I ask forgiveness for it, and we renounce those words in the name of Yeshua. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, until next time, shalom, shalom, and Shabbat shalom.